Good morning, everyone. Let's start our worship this morning by singing together a gathering hymn, He is Exalted. It's number 342 in your hymnal. It's also printed in our order of worship. Let's stand together. You may be seated. The Lord be with you. And welcome as we gather worship as Murfreesboro Baptist Church this morning. It's so good to see everybody here. We're glad that you're present with us. And we especially welcome those who are guests in our service today. Some who live in our area, some who are just passing through. We're glad to have all of you today. And we thank you for worshiping with us. And we also welcome those joining us by radio or on our live stream or on YouTube. We thank you for being part of our worship and pray it will be a blessing to you and invite you to come and worship with us in person anytime here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. There are several things I want to call to your attention. Our youth group meets at 5:30 today, and then our Wednesday Lenten luncheon will be at Chowan in the Chowan room at noon. Wednesday evening, we have Big Wednesday here. You see the menu in your bulletin. Please call or email by noon tomorrow so we can have an accurate count of how many folks are going to be here for that dinner, and we hope that you'll be able to be here. That changes the time of some of the things going on. Kids Club will meet at 6:30. The Big Wednesday's at 6, Kids Club at 6:30, choir practice at 6:45, and prayer and Bible study at 7. Now, there is a rosebud today in honor of our new granddaughter, and we appreciate that so much. That is very, very kind. We were down at Wilmington. We went down Tuesday night, came back Friday evening, and we have a wonderful little granddaughter, and I just happen to have a picture of her. She is precious. Yeah, I'm a proud grandpa. I sure am. So I'll confess to that. But so many of you texted or sent messages of congratulation, and we appreciate that so much. You had been praying for them because her mother had some complications with blood pressure and so forth, and they finally are going home this morning. And so we're grateful for that. We also have another new baby in our church family, and that is the Riggleman's baby. It was born on the 28th in the wee hours of the morning, little Silas. So we congratulate them as well and pray God's blessings on all these children. Remember that we will host the final Lenten luncheon on April the 16th at noon, and then that evening we'll have our Easter egg hunt for the children. You can read about that in the bulletin. We'll have Maundy Thursday communion on the 17th at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And then there's also a memorial gift listed in the bulletin.
Well, can I say something
about here? Yes, please do.
Usually the last one is a large one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Hope everybody heard that. If you can help out with our Lenten lunch, contact Marietta. Okay. All right. Well, we have gathered here this morning to worship God together. That's the most important thing we do as a church. There are many important things that we do, but the most important thing we do is when we gather to worship, because out of our worship grows our service and our love for one another and for the Lord. And so this morning we come to worship God, to focus our hearts and our minds on Him, who He is, His great love and grace toward us. And so I invite you to worship God together this morning, and I invite you to join me in our invocation, a unison prayer that's based on Psalm 32, printed in your order of worship. Let us pray. O Lord, blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom you impute no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When we confess our transgressions and acknowledge our sin to you, you forgive the guilt of our sin. You instruct us and teach us the way we should go, counseling us with your eye upon us. May we be glad in you and rejoice as we worship you, as we are made righteous in Jesus Christ through his mighty saving work on the cross and in his resurrection. We pray in his name. Amen. Our hymn of praise this morning is number 344, Glorious is Thy Name. 344.
We thy love and praise from
Thank you. You may be seated. And let's have children come for the children's sermon now.
Good morning. Our Old Testament lesson today comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 5, verses 9 through 12. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate of the produce of Canaan. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. From now on, then, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective. Even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective, yet we now no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not recounting their trespasses against them, and has committed the message of our reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of the Lord, praise his holy name.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, and be seated. As we come to our prayer time, there are a number of folks that we need to remember. We need to pray for the family of Faye Phipps Jenkins and also the family of Danny Baggett. Those passed away this week, and we want to remember their families in our prayers. Trish Jenkins is in the hospital at Ahoskie with a health issue. Sally Surface, we've been praying for her daughter Julianne, and we need to continue to pray for her, but Sally has been in the hospital this week with some heart issues and is still at Wake Medical Center. So please pray for her as well. And also continue praying for Brianna Teeter and for the Riggelmans with their new baby Silas. And I'm sure that there are others on your hearts and minds as we pray together this morning. So let's join together in prayer, and we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, who gladly welcomes, forgives, and restores all who turn to you in repentance and faith. That is your way, isn't it, Father? Just as you had mercy on Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, you've always been merciful and gracious to all who confess their sin and turn from their own wicked way to you in your righteous way. You knew we could not do that on our own. You knew that our own works could never save us. So you worked down through the ages, through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants. You promised them a Messiah, that perfect king in David's line, who would again deliver them and rule over them in perfect justice and righteousness. And you fulfilled that promise when you sent your Son to take on human flesh in Jesus Christ, so that through his life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection, he who knew no sin was made sin on our behalf, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so we pray, gracious Lord, that you would bring us all again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Forgive us, Father, for the things we have done that we ought not to have done, and for the things that we've left undone that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord, and forgive us through what you've done for us in Christ. We also come, Lord, to lift our petitions and our intercessions to you now. We pray for your church throughout the world and the work of your kingdom throughout the world, for our missionaries wherever they are serving, especially those who are in dangerous situations. We pray, Father, that you will work through them, that there will be many who will come to know you. We pray, Father, that you will work through our church and through the churches in our community and the churches in our land, that we would bear a winsome witness to the world around us, so that there would be many who would turn to you, who would put their faith in Christ, and who would become part of your church and serve in faithfulness as disciples of Jesus Christ. We do pray for our country, Lord, and our state and our town, and for our civil leaders at all levels. We pray, Father, that you would help them always to do what is right and what is truly just, what will be best for those they serve. And Father, we pray for those suffering from devastation brought by weather and earthquakes and wildfires and wars and other disasters, some natural, some caused by us humans. We ask your help for them, that you would minister to their needs, Father, that you would comfort and strengthen them, that you would provide for what they need in the aftermath of those situations. And Lord, that in the midst of all the chaos and all of the trauma, that you would show yourself strong and gracious, and that you would draw people to yourself. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in other lands who face persecution because of their faith. For those who are oppressed, Lord, we lift them to you. For those, Father, who are sick or injured or recovering from surgery or undergoing treatment or enduring chronic illness, Lord, we pray you would lay your healing hand on them, that you would restore at least a measure of their health, and that where it could be your will, that you would bring full healing. We pray, Father, that you would help those who are grieving over the loss of loved ones or other losses that they're going through, that you would give them comfort and strength. We pray, Father, for those who don't know you, that your Spirit would draw them to you, and that you would open their hearts to hear and receive the witness of the gospel, and that you would help us to be faithful in sharing that witness in our words and our deeds. We pray, Father, for our children and our young people, for their parents, for those who teach them, those who guide them in other ways, for our college students and for the students and faculty and staff and administration of Chowan. Lord, be with them and guide them. Help them all to be faithful to you. Lord, there are so many things on our hearts and in our minds this morning that we come before you with. Many of these things we have spoken, many of them are unspoken. Lord, you know about each one, each request, each thought. We gather all those now and lift them to you. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, is one God now and forever. And Lord, we gather these prayers and we humbly offer them in the words of that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 361, My Jesus, I Love Thee. us pray.
Oh God, our Father, you overwhelm us with your great mercy and grace. When we needed you most, you surprised us with your wondrous love as your Son Jesus offered himself for us to remove our dreaded curse, as he, who knew no sin, became sin for our sake, so that we might become your righteousness in him. As you continue to draw us into this renewing relationship of love, Lord, help us to respond with gratitude and help us to demonstrate that gratitude by the offerings we present to you now, and even more by the offering of our very selves to you. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our text this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15, in what really is one of the greatest short stories of all time. Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 11. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' And so he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' And so he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother is come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he's got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command, and yet you never have given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who's devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf for him.' And then the father said to him, 'Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" Lord, thank you for your word. As we look into it now, speak to our hearts. Show us your grace and help us to live in it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's no place like home, right? No place like home. There's something about home, isn't there? Now, that's not always true, because In some homes, there's so much dysfunction and disorder and distress, but in a home that's really a home, there's a love and a warmth and an acceptance that's hard to explain. There's a certain sense of peace and security that in spite of whatever's happening, this is home. We're family. We belong. We're accepted. And after a hard day or a long journey, boy, it's always good to be home, isn't it? Now, Joanne and I were down at Wilmington a good part of the week, and it was a joyous time, and we were grateful for it, and we enjoyed it, and we loved holding that little granddaughter. But I can tell you what, when we rolled into our driveway Friday night, It was good to be home. It was good to be home. And yet, despite all the wonderful things that we can say about home, sometimes some folks just aren't satisfied with it. There's something stirring deep within them that makes them want to leave, makes them want to go somewhere else, makes them want to feel like they have to do something else. Boredom or frustration or responsibility makes the grass look greener somewhere else. And so they want to leave home. And that was the case with the younger son in this story. It is a marvelous and a moving story, isn't it? A man had two sons. The younger son asked his father to go ahead and give him his share of the estate. Now, by Jewish law, when there were two sons in a family, the older son was to get 2/3 of the inheritance, and the younger son got 1/3. So this younger son knew that he was only going to get 1/3 of his father's wealth. And his yearning to be free from his father's control and to see the world got the best of him. And so he asked his father to go ahead and divide things and go ahead and give him his share of the estate that fell to him. That kind of request was not totally unheard of, but it was very, very rare. And if it did happen, the father always retained the right to the earnings off of that property, what we would call a life estate or a lifetime right. But what this son asked for really was an ultimate rejection of his father. It was like he was looking him in the face and saying, "Daddy, I wish you'd just go ahead and die so I can get what's coming to me." Can you imagine that? Well, before long, this son gathered all he had, and he went away to a distant country. He effectively cut off his relationship with his father, and he squandered everything with reckless living. And when he had spent everything, then there came a famine in the land. And he hired himself out to a farmer, one of the citizens of that country. And you know what his job was? Feeding pigs. Now, this Jewish son had come from a noble family, a father who was well-respected, and I know that raising hogs is big business here in North Carolina. I have an uncle who was a hog farmer before hog farming got so big in North Carolina, and I enjoy ham and sausage and bacon and barbecue, but I can tell you, from what I saw from my uncle, hog farming is not a pleasant job. But it does put food on the table. But here, this young man, this son of a noble Jewish man, was down in the pig pen feeding the hogs. That was the most degrading thing that a son from a Jewish family like Jesus was describing here could do, because swine were unclean for the Jews. And so it was a degrading job to be down there feeding the pigs. But he was desperate. In fact, he was so hungry that those carob pods that he was putting out there for the pigs to eat, he would have gladly eaten some of them. And they were only fit for animals, and then many times people who were extremely poor would eat them because they couldn't afford anything else. That's how desperate he was. And nobody gave him anything. Nobody helped him in any way. But then something happened. There in the pig pen, he came to himself. He came to himself and he started thinking about home. And he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have plenty to eat and to spare? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go back home to my father. And I'm going to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to ask to be restored, not as a son, but as a hired hand." And so he decided what to say, and he started home. And I can picture him in my mind and hear him along the way. You know, he no doubt rehearsed his speech all the way home, repeating it over and over, trying it with different inflections to see how it was going to sound best. And he's walking along and he says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you." And then he thinks, well, maybe if I say it this way, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Maybe if I just ask him to let me work for him and not be his son, not be restored as a son. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just treat me like one of your hired hands. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just treat me like one of your hired hands." And over and over and over he rehearsed it. And no doubt the closer he got home, the more nervous he got. He had to be wondering how his father would react. Would he even let him on the property the way he had treated him? Would he even acknowledge him after the way he had done? And then something truly amazing happened. We don't know why. We don't know if he was watching for him, hoping he would come back. But his father saw him when he was still a long way off. And when he saw him, he was moved with love and compassion. And he ran to meet him. I once heard Bill Clemens, who had been a missionary to a Mediterranean country, tell this story. He pointed out how this father was a man of honor and wisdom and dignity and status, the kind of man who wore a stately robe, walked around with his head held high, not in arrogance, but in a quiet confidence and dignity, the kind of man who never got in a hurry. But when he saw his son coming, he gathered up that long stately robe and he ran to meet him. He ran to him and he threw his arms around him and he hugged him and he kissed him over and over. And the son began his speech, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And before he could go any farther and get to the part about making him a hired servant, the father turned around to the slaves who had followed him out there and said, "You go get the best robe and bring it and put it on him," because he was changing his rags to riches. He was changing his disgrace to dignity, because that robe would be a sign of dignity and status. Put a ring on his finger, because that was a sign of sonship. And put sandals on his feet, because slaves went barefoot, but sons wore shoes. And get the fatted calf and kill it. We're going to have a party. Let's eat and celebrate. My son has come home. He was dead and he's alive. He was lost and now he is found. And the party began. Now, all this time, the elder son was out in the field working. And when he came in at the end of the day, he heard a party going on. And he asked one of the servants, "What's going on?" And the servant said, "Your brother has come home, and your father has thrown a party because he's received him safe and sound." And you'd think, maybe, that he might be happy he had come home, or that he might not be happy. Well, you're right, he was not happy. In fact, he was furious. He was furious about it, and he refused to go in. And when word got to the father that his elder son was refusing to come in, he came out and he pleaded with his son to come on in and join the party. But the elder son was pouting. You ever done that? Pouted? Pouted with the Lord? Well, this son was doing a really good job of it. "Listen, all these years I've been working like a slave for you. I've never disobeyed you. I've always done what you told me to. And yet you have never even gave me a young goat so I could have a party with my friends. But now, when this son of yours comes back, notice that he wouldn't acknowledge him as his brother. Does that mean that he was also denying his father? When this son of yours comes back, who's devoured your living with wild living, you kill the fatted calf for him. And he wouldn't go in. It's interesting, isn't it? This elder son was at home, but he was away from home. He was at home, but he was not home. And the father said, "Son, you're always with me. All that is mine is yours." But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. The question for the elder son was whether he would come on in and join the party, accepting his brother. Now, this story is often called the story of the parable of the prodigal son. Prodigal, of course, means wasteful, and yes, he was. But folks, that really misses the point of the parable, because this story is about the father. This story is about how this father welcomed home a lost son with great joy and called another son to come home who was still on the farm but far from the father in his heart. You see, here in Luke 15, Jesus actually told three parables, or as someone, I don't remember who, has put it, a parable in three movements, about a shepherd finding a lost sheep, about a woman finding a lost coin, and about a father finding lost sons. Jesus was answering the scribes and Pharisees' charge against him. They said, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." That's in the first part of chapter 15, verse 2. Jesus pointed out how a shepherd rejoices over finding that sheep, and how the woman rejoices over finding that coin. So surely a father rejoices over a lost son who has returned. So why shouldn't God rejoice when sinners repent and come home to him? It's a moving story that shows us how, like a loving father, God joyfully welcomes everyone who repents and comes home to him. But now understand this. Jesus was not talking primarily to the tax collectors and sinners here. He was talking to the Pharisees and the scribes. He was making a point to them. They were indignant at how Jesus so freely associated with the outcast tax collectors and sinners. And he wanted them to know that he was willing to accept whoever would return to him. For most of us, what stands out in this story is how the father welcomed the younger son, because it was an amazing act of sheer grace, wasn't it? It's the good news of a second chance, of full and free forgiveness. How could this father receive him so fully and freely, and yet he did, and then threw a party about it to celebrate? And that moves us with a sense of awe at God's love and his amazing grace. You know, sometimes I fear that the part of this story that I fit into is that of the elder son. I became a Christian at 7 years old. I was called to preach early. I started preaching when I was a teenager. I've been a pastor almost all my adult life. I've been at this for a long time. With all I've seen, it's easy for me to wonder sometimes when somebody does return if it's genuine. And then, you know, it's tempting to think, meanwhile, you know, I've been doing this all along. Where's my party? Where's my party? But the equally amazing thing about the way Jesus answers the Pharisees with these stories is that it's not condemnation, it's invitation. Not condemnation, but invitation. Come on in. Come on in and join the celebration. The father comes outside to the older brother and invites him to come in and join the celebration. And Jesus leaves the story open-ended, waiting to see how the elder son would respond. And friends, that's every bit as much grace as his welcoming the younger son home. Are you like one of these sons this morning? Squandering the precious inheritance of the life God's given you, living in the far country of sin and rebellion like the younger one? Well, if so, God wants to welcome you home today. And he'll welcome you gladly if you come to yourself, realize your need, and come home to him with a repentant heart, trusting Jesus to forgive you and to set you right with God through his life, death on the cross, and resurrection. If you'll come home, the Father's looking, and he's waiting for you. Or maybe you're like the older brother, squandering your life nearby with a heart that's hard toward others and God, thinking you're doing all that God wants you to do by doing certain righteous things and doing your duty to God. Maybe you're self-righteous rather than right with God through faith in Christ. God's calling you home too, calling you to come in and join the party. If you recognize your need and come in repentance, he welcomes you as well. Maybe you've come home in the past, but like one of those sons, you've wandered away over the years. God wants you to come back home, to come home this morning, to discover again the warmth and the security and the peace of his house. Thomas Wolfe said, "You can't go home again." But you know what? Jesus said you can. Jesus said you can. And no matter how far we stray from God, we can always come home when we repent. So are you away from home this morning? Well, if you are, this sermon's a word from God for you. God's calling you this morning. He wants you to come home. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, you know who you intend this sermon to speak to and how you intend it to speak to all of us. But Father, if there are those here in this sanctuary or those who are listening on the radio or on the internet who are away from home, we pray you would draw them right now, that you would stir their hearts and they would come back home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 587, Amazing Grace. As we sing this morning, right where you are, you can respond however God is leading you. But if there's a commitment that you need to share, then we invite you to come. And if you're coming home to follow Jesus, coming back home to the Father in repentance and faith, you need to share that good news, and we invite you to come as we stand and sing 587.
Thank you.
being here today. And again, for those who are guests with us today, thank you for your presence with us. Let's pray together. And so now, Lord, as we go from this place, remind us of your grace. Remind us, Lord, that you're constantly calling us home when we stray from you. Remind us, Father, of your amazing mercy, your amazing grace by which you have saved us through Jesus Christ. Help us to relish in it, to joy in it, to celebrate it, and to walk in it as we follow Jesus as our Lord. And as you go forth to follow Jesus as his disciples, learning from him and becoming like him, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Amen.